And I want to welcome you to the podcast for this week. On the I Want to Know More podcast this week, we're going back to 2 Samuel chapter number 18, 2 Samuel chapter number 18, and we're going to look at how David learns of Absalom's death. That's what we're going to look at this week. Again, 2 Samuel chapter number 18, 2 Samuel chapter 18. And we are going to start down at verse number 19. All right, let's read the scripture and then we'll dig into the message. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, "Let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies." And Joab said unto him, "Thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead." Then said Joab to Cushai, "Go tell the king what thou hast seen." And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, "But howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai." And Joab said, "Wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready?" "But howsoever," said he, "let me run." And he said unto him, "Run." Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain, and overran Cushai. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall, and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, "If he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth." And he came apace and drew near, and the watchman saw another man running. And the watchman called unto the porter and said, "Behold, another man running alone." And the king said, "He also bringeth tidings." And the watchman said, "Methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok." And the king said, "He is a good man, and cometh with good tidings." And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, "All is well." And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king, and said, "Blessed be the Lord thy God, which hath delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king." And the king said, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Ahimaaz answered, "When Joab sent the king's servant, and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was." And the king said unto him, "Turn aside and stand here." And he turned aside and stood still, and behold, Cushai came. And Cushai said, "Tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord hath avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee." And the king said unto Cushai, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" And Cushai answered, "The enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is." And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate, and wept. And as he went, thus he said, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son." All right. Now, this is an odd scripture here. And it's a little difficult to figure it all out. And the Lord has a bunch of things for us in this scripture. There's some really interesting and deep doctrinal details and some deep theology to be found here. We're not going to get that deep today. We're just going to give you the general idea and give you the a place to start your studies from, a place to start your own studies. That's my goal with these broadcasts and the podcast, is to get you to dig for yourself. That's why I don't typically really finish things. I kind of leave you hanging a little bit. And that's intentional. That's intentional. It's one of those things that I want you to dig for yourself. I want you to go away from listening to the broadcast or listening to the podcast and say, I wonder, and start digging and start looking for yourself. That's my goal. That's my purpose. That's why my broadcast exists, is God called me to do that thing, is to get people to read for themselves, get people to study for themselves, get people to pray about these things and find and dig for themselves. Because you have the same Spirit of God I have. You have. I don't have a monopoly on the Spirit of God and the spiritual discernment of these things. I don't. The Lord does give me insights, and sometimes they're not the insights that He gives other people. That's okay. Different people get different insights. Different people get different explanations of things. And I know of at least one person who's preached on this that went a completely different direction from where we're going to go today. But I want to give you the high-level overview, as well as some details here of what's going on. What are the motivations behind these men? Why does Absalom want to run, or Ahimaaz want to run? Why does Ahimaaz want to be the one to bear tidings? And why does Joab not want Ahimaaz to bear tidings? And why does Joab send Cushai, which we've never heard from before, and we don't hear from again? There's another Cushai. There's a couple other Cushais mentioned in the Word of God, but they're not this Cushai. This Cushai is mentioned this once, and that's it. There's no genealogy given for him. There's nothing. And there's a reason for that, I believe. I believe there's a reason Joab did that. There's some things. See, Joab knows David really well. And then, of course, David, he does not take the news well. He does not take the news well. So let's look at the motivations. Why would Ahimaaz want to be the one to carry tidings? Well, Ahimaaz loves the king. He loves David. And he tells Joab that he's going to give him tidings that he's been avenged of his enemies. And Joab says, I'm not going to send you for tidings. And Ahimaaz wants to be the one. He wants to try to let the king down easy, I think. I think his heart's broken. He knows it had to be done. He knows that Absalom was the enemy, but he also knows how beloved of David Absalom is. He wants to be the one. He figures he can tell it better. Now, he can't. This is the fact of the matter. He's too close. He's too close to David. And why would the son of the high priest be the one to do this? Now, apparently he was known for being a runner. When he gets close to the city of Mahanaim, which David is at, when he gets there, he gets close to it. They recognize him by his running. So it sounds like the running of Ahimaaz. He was famous for this, for running. He was fast. Apparently he was the fastest runner, which was a good thing when David left him behind and told him to stay behind and he could be the one to give him information. He ran then. He was a runner, a distance runner, a long distance runner. And he was known for that. The watchman said, "It sounds like the running of Ahimaaz." David says, "He's a good man. He's got good tidings." What does he mean by good tidings here? He means he'll know what to say. He's got good words. He'll have it all. We'll get the details here, boys. When Ahimaaz brings it, we'll get the details. And of course, Ahimaaz, he falls apart when he goes to tell him. He doesn't tell him what he had prepared. What he had prepared was to tell him how he's avenged of his enemies. But then he gets there and he can't go through with it. And he knows Cushai is going to. But he has to anyway. He has to be there first. He has to be there to say, to tell him all is well. It's okay, King. It's going to be okay, King. That's his message. That's his message. All is well. Now this is an odd message for someone who told Joab just a little while before, "I'm going to tell him how he's avenged of his enemies." And indeed, that's what Cushai ends up saying, essentially. He says, "All the enemies of my lord the king, let them be as that young man is." Oh boy. Now, the motivation of Ahimaaz, I believe he was going to try to let David down easy. He was going to try to blunt, or he was going to try to blunt the force of what Cushai was going to tell him. Because Ahimaaz knew Cushai was not going to let him down easy. Again, Cushai is not mentioned before this. Cushai is not mentioned after this. This is a one-off thing. So let's look at Cushai. Who is this boy? Who is he? Just an ordinary guy, one of the footmen, very likely not one of the servants that helped Joab slay Absalom. Absalom was too smart for that. We'll talk about that in a minute. Why? Absalom picked Cushai. He was there. He just happened to be there. Said, Cushai, you're going to take tidings. And Cushai's probably thinking, I'm not a runner. I can't do that. Ahimaaz can get the word there far quicker than I can. But he goes, he follows orders, and he's just a regular guy. His motivation is, okay, I got this job to do. And the job Joab has given me, I'm to tell the king exactly what happened. Now, Cushai, again, I have to speculate a little bit because the Bible does not tell us anything else about him. Cushai may not have even been known by the king. He may not have been somebody that David even knew, but he was there. He was there. Joab may not have even known, but, Ahimaaz knew his name. Ahimaaz knew his name, so I would guess Joab did. He's one of the guards there, probably. One of the foot soldiers. One of the ones that went to battle, but not necessarily one that was in the middle of the battle and actually killed Absalom. That would have been dangerous. Again, we'll talk about that in just a minute. So what's Cushai's motivations? It's his job. That's what it is. And he's going to tell the story. He's going to tell it straight. And then that's that. Ahimaaz, Cushai's gone. He knows what kind of message Cushai's going to give. And Ahimaaz wants to go. He says, let me run. And Joab says, you don't have tidings ready. Really? What were the tidings? The tidings were the Lord has avenged David of his enemies. That's the tidings. He had already said that's what he was going to say. But apparently Ahimaaz did not know the details of the battle, and Cushai did. And Cushai probably could have given David all the details, but David left him alone before Cushai actually had a chance to give the details of the battle. How many were dead, who was dead, and lists of people, and who killed whom, and who actually killed Absalom probably was in that information. But David doesn't let Cushai finish. David leaves his presence, and he's weeping for Absalom. That's David's heart. See, David did not want vengeance. He wanted reconciliation. Just like the Lord wants today with the lost world. He doesn't want vengeance. He wants reconciliation. But vengeance is coming. And vengeance has to happen. And if it has to happen, it has to happen. But the Lord does not rejoice in the death of the wicked. And that's David here. But for the time at hand, it was the wrong thing to do. David needed to be strong. He should have understood that it was necessary for Absalom to die. They could not go back to the way they were. It's not possible. Absalom went too far. Absalom went too far! He had rebelled. They had run. Absalom would have killed David in a heartbeat. And David didn't want that. So Joab sends Cushai. What's Joab's motivation? Well, Joab knows David, and he knows how David has reacted when news came of Ishbosheth's killing and how the messenger was slain. And then, because David said, how dare you raise up your hand against the Lord's anointed? And then, likewise, Saul, tidings of Saul. The messengers thought they'd get into David's favor and said, we did this, we did this. And David slew them on the spot. How dare you touch the Lord's anointed? Joab knew that David. And with the instructions that David had given for Ahimaaz, the son of the priest, to come and bring tidings, was a very dangerous thing for Ahimaaz. Joab knew this. He knew David would be unpredictable in his reaction. And so he sends Cushai. Now, maybe Cushai was one of the ones who Joab set upon Absalom and had him slay him. We don't know. It would be very likely not. But Joab was worried that Ahimaaz was going to blow it out of proportion and be too joyful about the enemies of David being destroyed here, about Absalom's death. He would have been too joyful and not precise enough. And Joab wanted somebody that David probably would not see again to bring this news to him. Cushai was picked because he was unknown. We don't hear from him before this. We don't hear from him after this. There's no genealogical record of his existence. He's there. He's used for the purpose. And then he's not there anymore. And we don't know what happened to him. He's just one of the soldiers. See, there's a lot of those. There's a lot of people that are nameless here. We get the rulers' names. We get the families of the rulers and of the high priests and all that, but the normal common people, you don't hear from very much. You don't. Unless they make good, you know. David became king. He was ordinary. He was a shepherd boy. He was the youngest. He was of a poor family even. But he's king. So yeah, they're going to look into his history. They're going to look into his testimonies and such. He's going to be famous because he's king. Cushai, on the other hand, isn't. And Joab sends an unknown. He does. He sends an unknown. It's not something the priest Ahimaaz. See, if he's the son of a priest, then he's a priest. He's just not old enough to fulfill the office yet. And he's famous for his running. Why didn't Joab send him? It wasn't appropriate. And Joab knew this. Joab knew David was going to be upset. He just didn't understand how badly upset. He didn't understand the full impact of what David was getting ready to do until he got there. When he got there, he had to straighten David out. But David goes into a chamber and he weeps and he mourns for his son. And, you know, I can understand that. I can understand why David would do that. Until I had my own kids, I didn't understand it as much. But having my own kids and seeing what my own kids can do and are capable of and where they ended up doing things that they should not have done over the years. And, you know, everybody can say something along those lines. We've all messed up in one way or another. If you're blessed with kids that have never rebelled, just be thankful to God. I'll just leave it at that. David was going to be all tore up. And he is all tore up. He goes up into that room. He weeps, oh my son Absalom. Would God I had died for thee. Oh wow. He's saying he wishes Absalom had won. Because now he's got to live with the fact that he had consequences for what he did. See, during all this time, he's expecting the consequences. They were prophesied. He knows he deserves them, but to see other people suffer for his sin. Now this is where it gets real for the Christian today. This is where it gets real for me. My sin, my bad decisions don't just affect me. They affect my family. They affect my wife. They affect my kids. And if I've done something wrong, it can negatively affect my kids. Now, will they be judged for what I did? No, they won't. They're not judged for it. But things might happen to them. They might be chastisement for them, or it might be trials for them. but it's chastisement for me. And that's the way God works. That's the way God works. Sometimes the consequences of my actions end up creating problems for other people. Of course, again, it could be said that Absalom brought it on himself. He didn't have to go through with it. He didn't have to rebel. He didn't have to think that he was the right one. He didn't have to be so vain. He brings it on himself. But don't you know David blames himself? And what kind of influence can David have on his family for good when he did what he did with Bathsheba? What kind of influence can he have? How can he possibly tell his kids, you better do right or the Lord's not going to bless? And they're going to say, well, look at you, Daddy. Look what's happened to you. You did this, you did that, and I don't see anything happening to you. Little do they know how deep it can cut. Yeah. Oh my, oh my. David here, he knows, and he blames himself. But in reality, it's just as much Absalom's fault what happens to Absalom. Absalom did not have to rebel. He brought that on himself. But David, he suffered consequences. He knows he suffered consequences. He would have preferred to have gone off the scene and the consequences be over. But you know what? That's not God's plan. He's going to live for a while yet, and he's going to see consequences. He's going to see consequences for what he did against Uriah the Hittite, against Ahithophel, against Eliam, Amiel, against Bathsheba. Bathsheba, he has to live with. The others, oh my, oh my. It is a difficult thing to undergo chastisement and to feel like your chastisement is hurting your loved ones. It is. It is. And so David weeps and wails for Absalom. He wished he could have died instead. That's what David wants. He said, would to God I had died for thee. That's going to come back and it's going to get him, and Joab's going to have to set him straight, but that's for next week. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please email broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, that's broadcast@lamarowen.net. And join us here again next week for the I Want to Know More podcast.